Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Nick Thurlow, the newly appointed chairman of Hamac Gold, a company that's been making headlines with a bold new strategy. Over the past 6 months, Hamac has not only advanced its gold exploration activities in Liberia, particularly at the promising Nimba project, but also become one of the first UK-listed explorers to adopt a Bitcoin treasury strategy following a £2.47 million fundraise. It marks a significant shift for the company as it aims to create value through both natural resources and digital assets. Nick, great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to meet you both.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've come in at a kind of a pivotal time for Hamac with a bold new strategy that combines traditional gold exploration with this Bitcoin treasury management. What kind of drew you to the company and how do you see this dual approach creating long-term value?
Well, I think the key thing is the long-term value. It's, gold and Bitcoin are probably two of the top five or six assets in the world. So if we picked a couple of topical areas, I mean, obviously Hamac has a history of the gold, and combined with Bitcoin, we just think it's a perfect vehicle moving forward. We all know the sort of history recently of Bitcoins from Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy, now Strategy. I think with the UK, it's taken a different path. And I think for us, we saw the evolution of it very quickly in the UK from nothing to a lot. And this was the perfect time to come in as a main board listed LSE company, combine it with the gold. And we think the opportunity is very big.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just turn to Liberia and the Nimba project. What's the current status on the ground? You know, presumably, is there any JORC resource on that specific project?
Yes, this sort of predated me coming in, but we've spoken to the team. The old team signed a joint venture with an Australian exploration company. Money's moving and there's going to be holes dug in the ground very soon. So that, I think it was very important to partner up with other people on the ground that they could, exploit this very quickly. So that's moving ahead full steam. I saw there was an announcement from our Australian partners of an extra share offering in Australia. I think it was yesterday. So that looks good. I mean, I think, it's hard to be everywhere at once. And I think partners in all areas of life help you. And we were very excited with the partnership with FAU. And, that's going to continue. There's a lot of gold opportunities that are probably too small for the really big boys. And with the gold price where it is, it leaves a lot of opportunity for, smaller companies like ourselves to exploit, some reserves. So we're excited by that. And it's ongoing. And I'm sure we'll have updates on that as soon as we get them from Liberia.
Yeah, sure. So, obviously, the recent $2.47 million fundraise was that's a pretty impressive raise in this market, a key moment, not just for the capital, obviously, it brings in for the company, but for the backing, particularly in the involvement of, I believe, from the RNS, the investors from Qatar. Can you tell us more about that connection and what it signals about, confidence in Hamac's direction?
Yeah, I think, look, the whole Bitcoin treasury area is topical. And, the raise was done very quickly. So I've worked in Dubai for the last 2 years in the investment office of one of the sheikhs here. I will actually probably be transitioning, more into the Hamac space in the near future. But, it's a vote of confidence that the MBS did invest with us. They see the potential for this. I mean, as we all have. I mean, I think the key thing now is it's a growth industry, but it's not a new industry. It's just a little bit more new for the UK. So for us, the risk wasn't that big, to be honest. I mean, every investment's a risk, but, I've invested myself, the office has invested, a lot of people we know have invested. And at some point you have to say, every investment you look at the risk reward and say, there's a good chance to do this. And I think we do really like the combination of gold and Bitcoin and what that can lead to in the future.
Hi, Nick. It's Kevin here. We were talking about this with Rick Rule on Sunday, and we were basically saying, wouldn't it be amazing if you could produce a gold Bitcoin? And then you only ever produce 21 million of these gold Bitcoins.
Well, it's interesting to say that. So my first foray into crypto was on the board of a gold stablecoin back in 2019. So you know, you see the potential for it, but everything's about the execution. I mean, the project is still going. It's not a bad one at all, but it's, you have to make it very attractive for people. So, one of the first questions you have is, you know, Bitcoin is probably not the world's best transactional coin. There are many other coins that are better for transactions. Is a gold coin a transactional coin? Well, when it first started, everyone wanted to be the next transactional coin. But when you store gold and you have to insure it and vault it, and the spread to the actual gold doesn't make it that great, and especially for your systems. So you've got to figure out what the coin is based for. But as a store of value, of course, a gold coin is... The problem is they keep digging gold out the ground. So, you know, the mechanics of the coins are, lots of people try gold crypto coins.
Yeah, well, it's
a mixed success.
You're right. This is the major difference between BTC and gold and fiat currencies, ultimately. Fiat currencies, we can print as many as we want. And we've seen this in absolute disarray in the last 10, 12 years since 2008. All of the Western countries have done nothing but print fiat currency. And then you've got gold, which, yes, as the price goes up, will more gold be found? I think undoubtedly more gold will be processed, probably, simply because it's more profitable to do. I mean, we have quite a few minor companies, Conroy Gold, it's got maybe 20 million ounces of gold in Ireland. We've got yourselves in Liberia. What is the political situation like in Liberia in terms of political risk for that?
I haven't really delved into that yet. I mean, that was definitely a part of the old board that I'm coming to grips with, you know. So it's relatively stable for what we can gather. You know, it's all going ahead. What we have to do now is look at where that, you know, I think we're very comfortable having a partner on the ground working there. You know, I think I lived in Africa for a few years, and it's never quite the same as other places. So there's always a higher political risk. It doesn't matter which country you're in.
Yeah.
So I think you have to acknowledge that. I don't see it as an impediment at all. It's just,
yes,
you have to build it into how you do the working. Yeah, it's just a risk factor. And I think, you know, one of the things we look at is, as an experienced group of investors, regulated people, I'm an ex-banker for 30 years. Everything you do is about risk mitigation and risk and how you manage risk. So, you know, gold is no different and Bitcoin is no different.
Indeed. So what is your plan? You've got 2.47 million, I think it was. You're going to splash the cash on Bitcoins. You're going to raise again. Are you going to
the announcement we made is what we have to stick to, is that, you know, we're sort of clearing some of the legacy debts and things of the old company. We're going to build a little bit of an infrastructure in terms of office and some people going forward. And then the balance we will invest into Bitcoin. Once that's done, we'll announce it. You know, I think each company will have a slightly different policy. And at some point, very soon, we'll announce a Bitcoin treasury policy of how we're doing it. But you know, the point is buy Bitcoin, raise, buy Bitcoin and keep going for the near future. I call it the MicroStrategy Bitcoin Treasury 1.0 approach, but it isn't wrong at the time being. You know, I think there will be other ways you can do it. I think we have to be mindful of what we can do as a listed company in the UK. You know, that makes us a little bit different. It also will make Hamax slightly different from some of our, I'll say competitors, but we're not directly competing. But as a main board listed company, we'll have different rules. And I think long-term that'll play to our advantage compared to ones on Aquis or AIM exchanges. I mean, you know, our long-term goal here is to be able to give institutional investors, you know, like a UK pension fund, SIP people, ISAs, the ability to buy a position in crypto through a very trusted and regulated source. You know, I think it's considering how big the global crypto market is and Bitcoin is, the UK is severely underweight, the asset. So yep, That's what we see. It's a very big opportunity.
And do you see that, you know, the people who have gone in on this initial raise and others will be happy to continue that sort of flywheel effect as the price creeps up?
Look, I think people are aware of how this works. You know, there's going to be these spikes in, you know, whether you use this MicroStrategy MNAV numbers or just typical multipliers and how you look at it. There's going to be peaks and troughs of how this is valued. And it's a part of a natural evolution of business. I mean, I look at this as, you know, we are a relatively small cap stock. I think our valuation yesterday was sort of 12 million. Being in Dubai, I've seen people raising 500 million for an AI on one pager. And it's like, where's the risk in these things? So I think when you look at it in a relative term, this is relatively low risk. I mean, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, you know, you have to couch that in, there will be swings in sort of the MNAV number in the short term. And I think the larger you get, the lower the risk gets and the closer to sort of your net asset value you'll have. I mean, that's just a natural evolution of where this policy is. And so, you know, our view is definitely a long-term value build for the investors. I mean, we're not, you know, obviously is we're all in this for the long term. I mean, in touch with this is the last thing I ever do. So that's kind of my view. I've been there for a while, and there's a lot of opportunity here. And I think, you know, and I think to look at macroeconomic trends, and I'll say this respectfully for the regulators, the UK is a little behind, which gives us an opportunity. And, you know, within the strictures of a well-regulated main board listing, we think that is a remarkable opportunity, actually.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the main board is going to help you a lot. It might not help you in the short term, and it might be a little bit more difficult to get everything up and running. But once you're up and running, then I think it's going to be a major advantage to you.
And we clearly put that to our investors. Like, this is not a get in quick, short dump it. This is a, you know, there's a long-term value build here. And if you get it right, it's a very big long-term build.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and also because of the resource sector's been absolutely battered, your gold assets probably worth £12 million ultimately.
Well, I've had some experience with these gold assets. You know, in general, the market undervalues them because they do factor in political risk, economic risk. Could the price go down? Exploration risk. You dig in the wrong place. So, you know, generally, yes, there's lots of people. Until you've dug it out of the ground and you have it, it's generally undervalued because there is a risk factor. So we get that. But I think if you can combine the two, you know, and I've got a historical banking background, you know, in general, the bigger your balance sheet is, the better you can weather things in the short term. And our view is build long-term value for investors through building a balance sheet.
And would that building a balance sheet include maybe buying some more bond out gold miners and things like that? So you actually do have the gold Bitcoin play?
I think you said this before, is that, you know, resource sectors are generally undervalued. I think anyone who's in a public listed company has to look at opportunities of mergers and acquisitions, because it'd be wrong not to. What we do is something we'll look at down the road. But I think, you know, you need to have a certain size to do that. And so I think there's a short-term thing where you, as I said, you do the MicroStrategy 1.0 Bitcoin treasury plate, because it helps do everything else. And if you're generally bigger, companies can do more things. And that's kind of our view, is that it's build long-term value for investors. And that's, you know, what our approach is. And we're building a very, very good team that, you know, Rightpoint will announce other people coming on board that share this vision with us.
Very good. So you're actually on the roast. So we have to ask you, and you're going to be on the midweek takeaway.
Yeah.
What is a midweek takeaway for now?
You mean actual food, or are you taking away the stock?
No, I mean actual food. We need to know.
Actual food.
You're in Dubai now, so what is
I'm a great Persian food lover. So, you know, some form of kebabs is my thing. You know, it's just, I love Persian food. There's some great
Lebanese.
Food
Lebanese are great, or a Turkish.
I mean, when I say Persian, it could be Lebanese, it could be Iraqi. There's an amazing Iraqi kebab house here that is probably one of the fattest kebabs you've ever had. So you've got to be a bit careful what you're eating. But I mean, I must admit, the food in Dubai is second to none. It really is quite amazing. So very happy about that part of it.
Very good. On that note, we'll say Nick Thurlow, the newly appointed chairman of Hamak Gold. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Pleasure, guys. Looking forward to talking to you again.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.